Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lang. I forgot my name then for a second.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babes?
I am very good. I'm very good. How are you?
Really good, thank you, babe. Yeah, really good.
I've had one of those rare, extremely quiet weeks where I really haven't done anything. The most exciting thing I've got coming up is a dentist appointment. I mean, it's just, you know, one of those weeks, I think. Been sitting and watching a lot of TV.
And there's been a lot to watch.
Well, exactly. I mean, yeah, no complaints about that. But yeah, everything good?
Yeah, all good, my Like you say, I'm trying to think what I've been up to this week. Pretty quiet. I think it's that kind of time of year, isn't it? Where it's that kind of in-between period before like all the festivities come in. Gosh, it's hard to, from one week to the next, isn't that bad when you kind of think, what have I done in the week? But yeah, pretty much of a low key. But like we say, been lots to watch, and that's kind of what I love, especially when it's getting dark so early now. The weather's been a bit hit and miss, as we know, but to be fair, still relatively mild considering
pretty
it's
warm.
November.
Yeah, yeah.
How is it November? I mean, that's another story. I just can't believe where this year's gone. I was thinking back earlier, I remember doing our last Christmas episode, and that there's no way that feels like 10, 11 months ago. Do you know what I mean?
I know, it's insane.
Scary.
I mean, this is always a bit of a weird time for me as well, because I'm about to go into like heavy birthday season. Like loads of my friends and me all have our birthdays in like the next 2 weeks. So I'm always a bit like, do you know what? That week before, I'm just gonna be quiet and calm, because I know that the next 2 weeks I'm basically gonna be hungover every day. So
giving that liver a rest before
exactly.
It all comes round.
Well, I say that as I'm having a gin and tonic this year because I'm going around my neighbour's house for a little birthday dinner. So yeah, maybe not so much tonight, but you know, it's all fine. I did go, have to say, full disclosure, went out last Saturday night to this gay bar, new gay bar. I've never heard of it before. Well, I've heard of it, but I've never been, called Zodiac in Warren Street. And it was one of the most fun nights I've had in years.
I don't think I've heard of it.
It was packed. There were loads of people. It was really fun. There were go-go boys. It was just a really like fun vibe. Free entry, which I always think is a nice bonus. Just had a really good night. Didn't get home until half past four.
New one.
Well, it's new-ish. I actually did. So when at Pride, when I marched with my rowing club, we had the after party there, but it was in like the downstairs club bit. And I kind of forgot it existed. I went to the upstairs bit, which is more like of a bar with a little dance floor. And it was honestly so much fun. So 10 out of 10 recommend Zodiac in Warren Street. Go if you can.
And you said you got home at R4, so it was a little bit of a messy one, was it?
Was a little bit of a messy one. It was supposed to be, I had two friends over from Australia. Well, they're not my friends, they're friends of friends. Lovely people. We went for a really nice drink at Kettner's,
very
sophisticated. We had some orange wine, and then they were like, let's go somewhere else. So we ended up in Little Q, which if you've ever been to is a little tiny bar in Soho. And then from there, it just got messy. And ended up in Zodiac. But having said that, really good. 10 out of 10. Would recommend.
Had a lovely old time. They're some of the best nights as well, where you kind of, they're not planned. You know what I mean?
And that's I certainly wasn't like, dressed
start,
for it.
Start here. And then as the night progresses, it's like they always say, didn't they? If you've got a few bottles of wine, always start with the best one, because it's the first glass or two.
After you that, start, you don't care.
Yeah. And then after a few, the taste buds are gone anyway. So yeah, it sounds like you had a lovely old time, babes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and now it's just basically parties every weekend until probably January, really, if I'm being realistic.
Is it now a year ago since your birthday when you dressed as a cheerleader? Was that for your birthday?
That was Halloween. That was Halloween.
Shit, so that's a year ago already.
Yeah. Well remembered though, babes. Yeah, I mean,
it's just flying by, isn't it?
Yeah, I was in Canada Halloween this year. So, yeah, I mean, it's been more than a year. Crazy. But, you know, I always approach the, like, as we're getting more towards the year, I get quite excited for January because I always think of it as a reset. I never dread January. I think probably because I always go so hard on the partying in November and December that I'm just ready for a little bit of quiet time. For me, I enjoy this time of year, but the older I get, the more intense the hangovers are, and the less I'm inclined to go out and get wasted. But the nights are, as you can see outside, pretty pitch black now. So this is it now until the spring.
Oh, massively. And it was only a few weeks ago, because obviously the time we recorded this doesn't change, and it's flared out going back a few weeks or a month or two, and the sun was beating through, and it was like proper
40 degrees.
Yeah.
Not even that long ago.
There were fangs and all sorts. Do you know what I mean? And now, yeah, there's definitely not sunshine coming through my window, in the words of Gabrielle.
I'm glad you said that. I was going to say that too.
God, we're so gay.
So gay and so predictable. Yeah, there's really no, you can basically tell what we're going to say every week. Well, on that note, I'm pretty sure everyone can imagine what we're going to speak about today, because I'm a Celeb is back.
Yes.
And I, for one, am obsessed with the series. I've watched everything. I mean, it's only been 4 or 5 episodes, but I'm obsessed with it so far. What do you think of it?
Absolutely. Tonight is the night that we see Matt Hancock. There's it all, doesn't it? So tonight's the night that we see on screen for the first time. Obviously, we had that little clip at the end of last night's episode, which was a very, very bizarre VT / package of the hat and the smile and the laugh at the end.
That close-up of his teeth was really disconcerting, wasn't it?
It's just the way it got, I don't know, he thought he was Indiana Jones or something with his hat and figures. Yeah. But tonight we see him. I've seen a little clip on social media of him and Sean doing their first Bush Tucker trial. I can't wait to see the campmates' faces when they arrive. Because I tell you what, if I was in that camp and I was sat on my hammock and Matt Hancock walked in, I'd go, come on, Matt, babes, sit here, because I want to have a little chat with you. And I really hope someone does that, because, I mean, there's so much I'd have to say. He'd be begging to do a Bush Tucker trial just to get out of the camp.
Just to have you in his ear every 5 minutes.
Yeah, but because I just feel, and I think I speak for many, that there's so much I feel still unanswered about it all. Do you know what I mean? So if I was in that camp and I saw a little Matty boy walk in, a little chat down by the creek or on an hammock, wherever he wants to do it, round the fire, I certainly would love to have that conversation. How do you think the campmates are going to react to him coming in?
Well, I mean, that's the VT where he says, you know, I want people to see the real me. I'm not sure if people are that interested, really, in seeing the real him because of everything that happened during the pandemic. Now, that's not to say that you can blame every bad thing that happened on him. I don't think that's necessarily the case.
No.
It's a system. You know, other countries, it was a mess. But I mean, like, I feel the same way you would. I would find it hard to sit in there pretending that everything was fine and that I wasn't annoyed. I mean, I personally, no one near to me died, thankfully. But I do know people that have long COVID, and I do know, you know, I know people that who have had people that have died, and it was a big thing. And I think it's almost too soon, really, for him to be like, I want people to see the person behind the lectern. Well, maybe we don't want to see you just yet. Maybe spend some time rehabilitating your image another way. I don't know how, but rather than going on a reality show and I don't know, that's my kind of thoughts.
Read the room.
Exactly, and
I think that's where he's going majorly wrong. I don't know who's advising him. It's like you say, I think a bit nail on the head. I think the timing of it for him, I mean, ITV, an amazing booking for them.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, 100%.
It's got people talking about the show that probably never watched The Jungle in their lives. So it's opened up a conversation, and the conversation around it is huge. So for the booker, he or she needs an absolute pay rise because they've had a touch getting him to sign on the dotted line. But for me, there's just, I find it. And do you know what? It's not even what necessarily goes on behind closed doors. So park the giving the secretary one to one side. I think the other stuff is just, like I say, people that never got to say goodbye to family members. Yeah. And like I said, COVID as a whole can't be blamed on Matt Hancock. Absolutely, it can't. But I think for someone who had such an important job, it blows my mind how someone could get it so, so wrong. When so many of us was doing as we told it. And like I say, I don't know, I could do this whole show about the conversation, I really could, which is why that would be a conversation I'd absolutely relish. And I think as well, thinking, just touching upon the VT and stuff, it almost seems to me how it was delivered, like the smile, the laugh, and I mean, some of that might be awkwardness. And let's say it right, though, he stood on TV night after night. We've all watched him, so it's not his first rodeo, but I'm very aware he's not a celebrity. He's coming from a politic background. So there might be some kind of nerves or awkwardness with that. I kind of get that. But to me, it had like an air of like it was a pantomime or a laugh or a joke. And I just think people ain't ready for that yet. It ain't banter. Do you know what I mean?
I completely agree with you on that. And actually, but what I do think is good is that you do have so many other really good, strong characters in there that it may not become, hopefully it won't become the Matt Hancock show. I think, other than people voting in for the trials all the time, which I can imagine. And I imagine he'll probably go out quite early. But I have been really enjoying a lot of the characters who've gone in. I think Mike Tindall's really good value.
Yeah, I really like Mike.
I really like Charlene. I'm intrigued by this kind of brewing sort of thing between her and Boy George. It didn't seem to me she was being particularly controlling. It was more like, you know, there was the whole thing about her cooking the dinner and not letting anyone else do it. And I think, is it Scarlett, the other girl that Boy George was talking to, Scarlett, about when she was saying, you know, I want to do some jobs. So obviously she is rubbing people up the wrong way. But to me, I saw it as more like Charlene just being like, right, let's just get it done. Let's just like, boom, boom, boom. I know what I'm doing. Like,
absolutely. I think as well, like you said, it was last night's episode, wasn't it, where we saw Scarlett after we've seen Boy George obviously interested in having little conversations, where I think Scarlett was quite direct about it and kind of said what she wanted to say without almost saying it.
Yeah.
Where she was like, right, tomorrow we're all going to do something we ain't done before.
Yeah.
And it was almost like she was letting Charlene know what time it was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Do you know who else I'm really obsessive as well, actually, just quickly, because we don't have much time? Babatunde. I'm fully on board with Babatunde. I think he's adorable, funny man. And also the fact that he managed to do that challenge where he was 100 feet in the air having to walk around and then jump for that star last night after not being able to do the first sort of heights thing, I thought was really impressive. So I've got my eye on him as a potential finalist, actually, I reckon.
Definitely. And I think a lot of people almost wrote him off after the first episode where he said, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, before actually getting in the jungle. But I think he absolutely redeemed himself. And the things as well, I mean, I've never personally been in there, but it's one thing sitting on your sofa with your Maltesers watching something and I can't believe they've not done it, than actually being up there. And I mean, that's off to Charlene and Jill, because to me, it was just what they did up there. And I
hanging like that.
Read somewhere that I think apparently because Charlene had gone out first, I think she was hanging up there, literally hanging for 45 minutes. Now, fair play. But I think, he's definitely one to watch. I actually recorded a pilot with him.
Did you?
A while ago, but just such a lovely man. I'd love to chat before we did the pilot and stuff. And he would be a great person to have in camp. But yeah, loving Mike. Kind of loved it where he was spilling just that tiny bit of royalty.
That Zara loves to
they
get.
They like to get smashed.
I thought that was great.
Sit there with a Jaeger.
I also thought it was really good how the guy from Hollyoaks, Owen, clearly doesn't know who anyone is in the camp and was like, oh, is your wife Australian?
Oh, no, bless him.
And he didn't know Boy George's
name. Chris Moyles is a professional dancer. I mean, I'm not the sharpest tool in the box, but I'm even sat there thinking, oh, bless his heart.
It's good TV, though, I have to say.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see more. And Jill Scott, I think, an amazing...
What a legend.
So far, yeah. I mean, we're only on it, what is it, 3 so far we've seen at the point of recording this. But my man and woman so far is Mike and Jill, I think. But love a lot of them, but I think they're strong contenders, and I think this is going to be a series that's really hard to call up until the finale, to be honest. But like I say, it's a 3-week show. Who knows what's going to happen?
Exactly. Let's hope it's not the Matt Hancock show. Well, we have three exciting guests on the show today. First up, we have Sharon Gafka, former Love Islander. Then we've got PJ Finch from Married at First Sight and also a dream boy. So see if we can get him together. Gets top off. And former Real Housewives of Cheshire star SD at the end of the show. Sharon is waiting in the waiting room right now, so let's get her in.
Let's get her in, babe.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, darling.
How are you?
Really good, thank you, babe. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's a little bit of a madhouse here because I've got people doing work downstairs and my dog's going mental in the back garden. So,
what's been going down?
It's just a lot, I feel like, at the moment. My hair is greasy because I'm going on holiday tomorrow and I'm trying to not wash my hair until tomorrow morning. My dog's going mental. Work's been like 10-10. So, I mean, I can't complain, but I am ready to be on a plane. So,
where are you off to?
I'm going to the south of France.
Oh, lovely. Oh, that'll be nice.
I mean, it's not boiling, but it's no coat weather and it's not raining. So, you know, I'll take it.
Exactly, babes. Exactly. Oh, I bet you can't wait now. So we've got tonight, just a load of packing.
Yeah, so I'm taking Vienna to I call it the babysitter. It's obviously a dog sitter. And then I've got packing, and then that's me done for the evening. And then to wash my hair as well.
So what you mean, you said work's been 10 out of 10. What you been busy doing?
So recently I announced my partnership with Refuge. So I'm their newest celebrity ambassador and working with them on the online safety bill, which we're trying to push that back through Parliament. Obviously, I'm continuing my partnership with Thames Valley Police, obviously with all the leadership elections and the passing of the Queen. I kind of had to be like stop, start every 5 minutes. So now we're picking that back up again. Obviously, Christmas and Black Friday is coming up. So anyone that does anything influencery or social media-y, it's like right up in your face. My Christmas tree is already up, which I find absolutely embarrassing.
Oh my God, but I love it.
It is. Oh my God, like, yeah, I feel like my poor like publicists and management are just like every 5 minutes on the phone to me. But, you know, I love what I do and I can't complain. So.
And you've just released a podcast.
Yes, I have. So
tell us about that.
So tomorrow will be its 15th episode. So it's been going 15 weeks now. It's called Girls Know Nothing. At one point, I think we were the second business podcast on the Spotify charts in the UK.
Amazing.
Only second to Stephen Bartlett. I will catch him eventually. It might take me a while, though, and probably a bigger budget, but I will get there. So it's basically, Girls Know Nothing comes from basically when I was younger, as a mixed race woman and as a young woman, I was basically told that I probably wouldn't amount to much. I'd probably get married and have babies, or I'd be in a dead end retail job. I shouldn't really aspire to much. And, you know, girls shouldn't be playing football because I used to play football. Girls shouldn't do law, girls shouldn't do politics, all these things. And, you know, every time I was told I couldn't do something, I ended up doing it anyway. And I know that there's a lot of young women, not even just young women, young men as well, that DM me on all the time saying like, I want to do this, but how do I do it? And, you know, I can't answer the same questions all of the time. It gets really tedious and boring. And also, like, I'm probably sick of hearing my own voice. So everyone else is probably sick of hearing mine too. So I thought it'd be a really good opportunity to get other women and men the platform that have had the same experience I have to be able to share their story. And, you know, we've had some incredible guests already from you know, one of Britain's youngest barristers. I think next week we'll have one of Britain's youngest MPs. So, yeah, it's been amazing, and the response has been incredible.
Do you think things have changed considerably over the last 2 years? Because I completely agree with you. I remember sitting there with a career advisor saying I wanted to work in TV and wanted to be a presenter, and I kind of knew what I wanted to work in this industry. And I was told, it's far more likely you'll be a flight attendant or an hairdresser. Now, I can't imagine why they'd be the two jobs that I would have been told. But I wonder if nowadays you would even be able to sit someone down and go, actually, hairdresser or cabin crew?
I mean, from my experience, it was probably 10 years ago the last time I spoke to a careers advisor, but it was not value for money then, and I highly doubt it would be value for money now. No offence to any careers advisors out there that listen. I feel like, actually, it's probably a negative thing to say, because I don't like to talk about people's age, because it's one of those things, characteristics I've had issues with. It's the fact that the person who's giving me careers advice, I don't felt like had a career themselves. So it kind of felt a bit pointless, because you've not experienced anything yourself. So how are you going to tell me how to do it? And I think at that moment in time, I was like, oh, I know what I wanted to do. I was like, I knew I want to be a civil servant, whether that's in European Parliament or British Parliament. I don't know. Like, I was going through a period of time when my mum was really sick, and I just wasn't sure if I could, I just didn't want to commit to school. I hated it. I wasn't sure if I would pass my A-levels or if I'd be able to get to university. So I was like, what are my options? How do I get to from A to B? Whatever the road is, I'll do it. And she said, you know, if you're not going to uni, it's impossible. And I was like, okay. So I left. I was very upset. I remember crying all evening. And then I was like, do you know what? I bet she's lying. Because my dad was an engineer, and I bet he was told you only had to go to university to do that. So I just went all over the internet. Pretty sure I wasn't dial-up, but I'm pretty sure it was the slowest Wi-Fi in the world. And I remember going through it, and I came across my apprenticeship program. And that's how I became a civil servant. Didn't have to go to university. I didn't even have to do my A-levels through that program.
Wow.
So the fact she had no idea what the apprenticeship program was, and she was actually stunned when I said that I got one. So I was like, how are you giving 16-year-olds career advice if you have no idea what's out there? It could have
potentially put you on a completely different path. If you'd have thought, that's not an option, and you never bothered doing the research, who would know, you know? Like, yeah, it's dreadful, really. Dreadful. And you mentioned a bit about the online harms bill?
Yeah.
Online harm bill. Tell us a bit about the process of that. I know, Bob, you've been dealing with sort of related things, haven't you? Yeah, how's that been, process of it?
Yeah, I mean, so back when Boris Johnson was Prime Minister, which feels like a lifetime ago.
Years ago, yeah.
Yeah. It was probably like 2 weeks ago, right?
About 24 since, haven't we?
Oh, God, yeah.
Feels like it.
So Nadine Dorries, who was the Culture Secretary at the time, it was like her baby. She was really passionate about it. She was like, it will become law. And then, you know, she left the cabinet, and then it kind of just got thrown up into the air. You know, a lot of Tory MPs agree with elements of it, but they're on this massive rampage about freedom of speech when actually, you know, I don't, when you read what the online safety bill actually covers, it's not, you're not really harming anyone's freedom of speech, because me getting unsolicited photos is not harm, like, and telling them not to be able to do it isn't harming their freedom of speech. It's actually just protecting my right to be online.
Yeah.
And you know, I think I'm getting tired of hearing the same story about, you know, freedom of speech, or it's complicated. To me, it's not complicated. When you read like when you go onto the Gov.UK website and you read the main top lines as to why they want it, it's common sense. But unfortunately, people on the internet just lack that sometimes. You know, like one of the things is they want to make it illegal to send a person who suffers from epilepsy flashing imagery. Like, who is doing that anyway? But like, why is this a conversation as to why that should be illegal? Or why is it a conversation? Like, you know, we're hearing, unfortunately, really horrible stories in the news about young children, such as Molly Russell, who have died by suicide because of things they're seeing on social media as a result of the algorithm. Policing the algorithm isn't harming anyone's freedom of speech. Mm. And if anything, it just makes the online space a safe place to be for everyone. And yeah. I think one of the biggest things that I worry about is that now the internet is becoming so much bigger than set sharing each other's love on Bebo, it's like, you know, if we don't tackle the monster sooner, it's going to become to a point where, like, how many more Molly Russell stories do I have to hear before someone actually takes it seriously? And that's why, like, I partnered with Refuge, because technology is being used to abuse women. Like, I'm not saying it's not being used to abuse men, but for women, it's at a much larger scale, what that I've seen and heard and experienced anyway. So that's kind of like where our partnership came from. And because I've been so open and vocal about it, they kind of thought it'd be really good for us to work together. And it's nice, actually, that I've had, you know, even in clubs, I've had young women come up to me and say that I talk about things they feel uncomfortable talking about because it happened to them. And they're worried that if they bring it up, it will resurface other imagery that's been brought out about them in the past. So, you know, for me, it's nice to know that I'm actually doing something with a purpose.
And it's been such a long time coming. Like, I mean, when I first started campaigning for something to be done about social media and how what is allowed is allowed, I could never get my head around that. And that was 5 years ago. And I definitely feel in that 5 years, we've seen MPs sitting up and listen, and all the debates I've had in Parliament, there's never been actually anyone that's disagreed with anything I have to say. Like you say, though, the freedom of speech thing often comes up. But this doesn't affect freedom of speech. It's, for me, our worlds are technology-based now. We all have phones. Most people have a tablet. Like, and especially every generation has that. The gene is out the bottle now. When I think back to 11 years ago when I started working in TV, I think we had Twitter. I don't even think we had Instagram in the very early days. If we did, it wasn't nowhere near what it is now. And I don't think anyone actually had it or used it. So Twitter was our kind of thing. So in them 11 years, I've seen social media become such a huge thing, and it's not going anywhere. And as a whole, it can be such an amazing tool, can't it? But for me, I just can't get my head around how the laws haven't caught up. And I think that's their thing. They now acknowledge that what is law offline has to be law online.
Yeah, I agree.
Seems to be, it's like banging your head on a wall, though. I can't believe it still isn't a thing. But hopefully we're getting there. But I just can't understand, because it doesn't affect freedom of speech. If I think the people that are against it, you kind of got to question why you're against it so much. When people, like, I'm sure you've had it as well, coming from a reality TV show, when people, like, the obscene messages and death threats and stuff, I'm outside your house, I'm going to petrol bomb it, all that kind of stuff. To me, like, it's a no-brainer that should be a law. So fingers crossed that we haven't got long to go.
No, definitely. And one thing that I've said to people, and it's a really sad reality, that I'm now at that stage, I'm desensitized to anything anyone said to me. And that's, you know, that's for me as a grown adult. But like you said, I don't know if me 10 years ago would have been able to cope with the severity of the stuff that I see online. And, you know, like, now we've had Elon Musk take over Twitter. I think it was one newspaper that wrote an article saying that the use of the N-word had gone up by 500%. Because people are now testing the boundaries of freedom of speech. When actually, in reality, how many of those users that did use that type of language are actually allowed or accepted to be able to use that kind of language?
So do you think it's progressively going to get worse, Twitter as a platform in particular? What's your take on that now we've seen the ownership change hands?
I actually think if the online safety bill doesn't speed up its process, I think Twitter's going to become a very nasty place to be. We already know that people that have social media platforms and very public figures have removed themselves from the platform even before the takeover because they found it so toxic. I know a lot of Love Islanders or ex-Islanders have removed themselves from the platform completely. I've seen a lot of big TikTok users today on TikTok say they've deleted and deactivated their account. And, you know, I said if it carries on the way it has done, I potentially could be joining that group of people that deactivates their account.
And you certainly, it seems to me that, I mean, I think in the last couple of weeks, I've lost like 50 followers, like, and I haven't tweeted anything that was particularly offensive. I think it's people literally deactivating their account and sort of yeah, moving on from the platform. Honestly, I feel like Sharon, we could talk about this all night, but we have to move on. But thank you so much for joining us, Stephen. Really appreciate it, and have an amazing time in the south of France. I'm furiously jealous.
Amazing. it's somebody else's turn to feel jealous because normally it's me. But thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Sharon.
Have a lovely holiday, hon.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Bye, guys.
Okay.
Bye. Are you still on Twitter, Bob? You are, aren't you?
I still have it. I mean, I'm not very active on there. I'm much more of an Instagram boy now. Do you know what I mean? I'm just more visual.
Like your TikToks you did when you were impersonating yourself. They were good. You should be more of them.
I need to get back on TikTok, actually.
Yeah.
For me, Twitter was my go-to, and I kind of still is... more so if I was to, I think when you're watching a TV show, if you want to write something, obviously, because it's not so much as a visual thing, is it? Whereas for me, I think with Instagram, just jumping on a story or having the options to have videos as well. Do you use a lot of Twitter?
I do, yeah, I do. I have to be honest, but I have been considering my own position on there after everything that's going on. So who knows? Who knows what might
interesting
change?
Interesting to see how this goes now, isn't it? Moving forward,
yeah. I'm more inclined to think about coming off it. Our second guest, PJ from Married at First Sight, is here, so let's get him in.
Fab. How have you been?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Pardon? Really good, thank you. Really good. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Bob just said there, you're a bit of a busy boy then. If you're doing training, you're on the Dream Boys tour, you've been on Married at First Sight, it's a busy time for you.
Oh, listen, at the minute, life is mad. It's literally non-stop.
So I've got to ask you, I've got to start by talking about Married at First Sight and then we'll touch upon the other things. What made you initially want to sign up for the show?
Yes, what?
a lot of tequila, first of all.
Was you pissed when you done the application first?
That's it. But for me, truthfully, I've always wanted to settle down. You know, I'm getting old now. You know, I'm a single dad. Every relationship I seem to get in, it just seems to go pear-shaped. So I thought, why not get some advice from some, experts? So I just went in there open-minded and I thought, you know what, maybe, they could help me. So that's the main reason why I went forward for it.
Didn't quite work out like that though, did it?
Oh, no, mate. Oh, man. I'm back at square one.
So what is your relationship with Jess right now? Obviously, it didn't, the marriage did not work out as it so often doesn't with Married at First Sight, to be honest. What's it like now? You said you're still single, yeah?
Yeah, I'm still single. Like, don't get me wrong. Me and Jess are still friends. She's doing her. I'm doing me. She's in a relationship now, which I wish her all the best. But yeah, I'm just getting on with life. She's just getting on with life. And we're okay. But, it's just always going to be at that friendship level for me and Jess.
At what point did you realise in the experiment that it weren't for you? Was there a moment where you kind of had like the penny drop and you thought, nah, it's ain't a bit of me?
You know what? When I told her I was a stripper and I got that reaction, part of me was like, oh no, not again. But then as well, I was thinking, she's not going to accept this. She's not. You could just tell. As soon as I told her my job, it kind of just felt... there was something there that I couldn't get my hands around, and I was just like, oh no, this is going to be awkward. And then when she told her mum, and her mum grilled me at the wedding, and it put me off, I didn't even eat my chicken. I was fuming. I was starving as well.
Do you get that reaction quite a lot though, being a stripper, trying to with women? Are they less inclined to, I mean, I don't know, how does it go?
Yeah, so as soon as I break down my job, just the word stripper itself is kind of like a red flag.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everyone, that sound makes me sound like a slag. people in the past that have said what I do, straight away they're like, oh no, you're going to be one of those typical arrogant, sleeping around. But when people know me for me, I'm the most genuine, nicest, down-to-earth person you'll ever meet, and my job is literally just my job. So what you see on stage is just what I do on stage.
Like a character.
Like a character, but I'll get naked.
It's a good character to play, to be honest.
That's like my superpower at the end.
Is it quite disheartening? It's, I guess, especially if you really like someone and you're into them, and you've experienced that in the past in previous relationships, are you almost scared to say your job because you know so many people are going to judge it? Because I kind of think that's kind of, it's a bit sad, isn't it, in a way? Because that's your job. And
yeah. See, the thing is, I've accepted it now. Like, what I do is what I do, and I've grafted to get to where I've got to. It's not like an overnight thing where you can learn how to dance. It's literally a performance. It's a theatre-based show. It's very professional. I went to dance school, got my national dance diploma. So I'm proud to say what I do, and that's what I do best. So when someone doesn't accept it, deep down, I'm just like, then you're not the person for me. But don't get me wrong, it does break my heart sometimes, especially when I meet someone I really like and then I have to tell her about my job. You know, I always invite them to come to my show to see for what it actually is, but sometimes people just can't get past the fact that I'm a stripper, unfortunately.
Yeah, I get the thing is as well, like you say, it's an art, isn't it, in a way, and as a performance. So when you go to work, that's you could get in your car and go home after and just want to go back to your relationship. And I guess the people that kind of do judge it, probably somewhere in the back of the head, like you think, like you mentioned at the top of the show, that you kind of think that they assume you're going to be cheating on them or being one of them lads that's...
Yeah, the typical. Because I think with the whole stripper, we just get judged straight away. But there's so much more behind it. Like, first of all, I've got a child, you know what I mean? And if I'm able to do what I'm doing and get good money and provide for him, I'm going to carry on doing it. And no one's going to tell me otherwise, you know what I mean? So it's hard. It really is hard. But, you know, sometimes you just got to be the bigger person and get on with it. So hopefully I'll meet the one and who can accept me for me.
And like you say, anyone that can't accept your job, it's better to know early doors, innit, and know that they're not the one for you, because when you love what you do, you're not going to change your job. So I guess as soon as you know that, you can kind of... You think, right, we've had a lovely time, but this ain't going to work out.
Yeah. It's just sometimes people lie at the beginning. So I've been in a relationship where it's been all right for the first 6 weeks. And then all of a sudden, my fireman helmet goes missing, or I can find one
shoe. Sorry, that was me.
But it's all right at the beginning. You know, the beginning's always the hardest. So if you can conquer the beginning, you'll be fine.
I've been to a Dream Boys show. I went to the launch of the calendar 1 year. It must have been quite a long time ago now. But for anyone that doesn't know what a Dream Boys show entails, can you explain a bit about what you do? You mentioned a fireman's helmet, which I think is a perfect segue into it.
Yeah, of course. So a Dream Boys show is a exotic dance show performance, which involves duos, group routines, solos, a male strip performance, but we are theatre based, so we kind of like taking it to a next level. It's more of a dance show, and then we kind of avoid the nakedness, but we still add it in a sexy way, if that makes any sense.
I think so. Yeah, that's good.
And like you say, I think as well, some people's misconception might be that there's extras going on. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, mate. I know, literally. The thing is as well, like, when we finish a show, everyone's thinking, oh, I bet the lads have gone out, I bet they've getting with all these girls. But really, we're actually on the tour bus eating kebab meat and chips, watching Harry Potter.
Rock and roll.
That's the thing. Like, once you've been doing, you know, I've been doing it 13 years now. I haven't got time to go out partying. I've done all of that now. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, what's next? So
yeah, you got it out your sister. You put your clothes back on. You wipe.
Oh, that's it. They don't want me. They don't want me when I got my clothes on. That's the thing. That's the problem.
Talking about Married at First Sight, we've recently heard one of your former cast members has reported that she's been on a few dates with you. Can you give us any more information on that, Pujo?
Are you on about? Hey, are you on about?
How many of them have you took out, babe?
Well, obviously, I'm not.
Have you been sharing the love, Pujo, around Married at First Sight?
Are we on about Marie-Lise?
Absolutely. Unless there's any others, feel free to still say on everything.
Yeah, me and Marie-Lise went out a long time ago. We went out. There's not much to tell you. We went out. We went for dinner. We went to this opening for like a chocolate cocktail bar launch thing, and that's about it, really. Like, I can't really break down the situation anymore. It's just we're better off as friends, and that's about it. She's doing what she's doing. Well, she seems very busy at the minute. So, yeah, I wish her all the best. I haven't got a bad word to say about
her. Just had a fun evening. Took her for a chocolate cocktail.
Delicious.
Yeah, literally, that is it. Like, you know, we wasn't officially together. You know, we met up, had a drink, and that was really it.
Yeah, just doing bits.
Just doing bits, yeah.
What about anyone else from your series? I mean, whether they're sick, just hypothetically, is there anyone that was on your series that you kind of would think, I'll take you for a pie and mash fish and chips?
Probably more than pie and mash and fish and chips, I'll be honest with you. Oh, I'm going to bait it up now.
This is access all areas.
If I had to choose someone, it would definitely be Sophie.
Why is that?
Because she's 10 out of 10.
So do you think something went wrong in the matching process, maybe, and you should have...
I think they were drinking at the time. And it was rock, paper, scissors. I think that's what happened.
Was you attracted to Sophie straight away? Did you kind of think early on, did you think, oh, you're more a bit of me than Jess?
It's hard because when I left the process with Jess, that's when Sophie came in. So I never actually met Sophie.
As your paths had never crossed at all.
That's it. So when I did meet her at the reunion, I was like, okay, maybe I should have stayed a little longer.
Have you ever put it on her, PJ?
I haven't.
He might now. Now it's out of the bottle.
Yeah, it's out of the bottle now.
Is this the first you're hearing?
She's gonna block me now. She's gonna be like, oh god.
Go one way or the other. Could be sliding into your DMs. Have you had many people slide into your DMs since the show?
Oh my god, my DMs have never been so popular.
It's popping off.
You know, the thing is, it's weird DMs. It's weird things. Like, people are sending me pictures of their feet or...
Oh, God, that's such a big thing, isn't it?
asking me weird requests like, can you send me your boxers after your performance? I just want one nice request. Just one normal conversation.
Just like, can you wish my friend a happy birthday kind of thing?
Yeah, just something nice. Just a normal person. They want to get to know me, not, you know, do you fancy meeting in the park in a bush? Like, you know what I mean?
They're requesting a pair of spunky boxers.
Listen, I'm telling you. I'm literally, my inbox is mad. It's mad.
It's a mad old place, them DMs, isn't it?
It's the request ones I haven't even opened yet.
They're a whole nother can of worms. No, them ones. Have you got any blue tick sliding, by the way? Just out of interest, anyone... You don't have to say you. I mean, it'd be lovely if you did.
I'm getting a lot of messages. Because I went in there as a stripper, I'm getting a lot of messages from strippers, people that do OnlyFans, that type of industry. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of like, look, we relate to you because of what you do and you get judged. And, you know, if you ever want to do some work together or some content, let us know. So I'm getting a lot of messages from like that.
Would you consider it?
What, OnlyFans?
Yeah.
Well, I've actually jumped on board.
Oh, you have?
I have. So, however, I want to kind of like switch it up. So in terms of OnlyFans, I don't want to do what everyone else is doing. You know, sitting in front of the camera having a wank for Dave and Karen. So me, personally, I've kind of like switched it up. I've gone to what I do best. So it's more like me dancing for the people that can't get to my show or they're too shy to get to the show. I'm going to just do a dance in my studio.
Clothed.
Not get naked. Or... Well, at the minute, it's clothed.
See how much more people are willing to pay. And then maybe...
At the minute. Depends what you're going to pay me. I need a new car.
Would a ideal partner, like so you've obviously you've gone down the OnlyFans avenue, which is a really popular thing at the moment, so many people are doing it. Do you think, would you ideally like a partner in the future to be in your industry, whether that's OnlyFans or a stripper? So because I guess the beauty of that, I guess, is not only can you double up on your content, but I guess it's someone that understands your job, and it eliminates someone almost having the prejudgy, not liking what you do.
I'd definitely say, you know, someone kind of more in my industry would work, because like you said, she'd get me, she'd understand what I do, she'd get the fact it's just a job. It's just finding that person, do you know what I mean? But at the same time, I'm a jealous person.
So you maybe kind of get it also.
I don't know how I deal with it. That's the problem. I don't know how I deal with it.
Yeah. It takes a special kind of person, I think, to be able to, because like you say, I guess you've got to have so much trust in your partner, which obviously everyone does, but just in life in general, especially the way social media is, where everyone's so accessible, weren't they? But it goes to a level when you know someone's, I know what you mean. It's interesting, isn't it?
It's a very, very hard thing to explain, because being in the industry, I know exactly what I'm doing. I know what I want. I know where I want to get to. Having someone in the same industry will get me, but for me to accept what they do, it's just hard because I'm a jealous person. I don't know.
Key is never say never, innit?
Never say never. Never say never. I'll give it a go.
Before you go, I do want to say, with regards to Marina first, do you have any regrets, or are you still pleased you did the show?
Do you know what? I'm so glad I've done the show. I found out so much about me. I've started to learn to love myself more, be proud of what I do, who I am. I've got no regrets. I really don't. I wish, you know, things could have worked, because that's why I actually went on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's actually made me a better person, so I don't regret it at all. Other than them trying to make me swim with sharks, because black people don't swim with sharks, first of all. So they should have knew this from the start. It's a no-go, so I ain't getting in no water with no sharks. I don't care who you are. Do you know what I mean? other than that, you know, it's because I went in there open mind. I said to myself, whoever I turn around to, I'm going to give it 110% regardless. I just got judged, and my whole life I've been judged, and it's kind of pissing me off a little bit. So yeah, I'm just going to wait. I'm not going to rush into it anymore. I'm just going to wait and just see what happens.
Yeah. What's meant for you won't pass you by. That's what they say. And I believe it's true.
That's it.
100%.
Well, my mum said she was proud, so that's all that matters. Do you know what I mean?
That's the main thing, PJ. Once you've got that, nothing else matters. Do you know what I mean? You've got to make mum proud.
I'm all right now, other than the sharks and all that other singing Spice Girls, all of that.
Yeah, now that.
But sometimes you got to do things in life you're uncomfortable with, and you did it, so, or not.
I'm telling you, there was a lot of alcohol involved, that's all I'm saying.
PJ, well, thank you so much for joining us, Stephen, really appreciate it, and best luck with your PT class tonight, I guess.
Oh, thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
And you really know, appreciate it.
If you've got any single friends, let them know where I'm at.
I do, actually. Yeah, I will.
Ditto, back at you. If you've got any, let them know. Yeah.
Any of your stripper friends, they'll do.
Hey, when you're
I'm
ready,
not jealous.
See your wingman.
Thank you so much, PJ.
Really appreciate
Take
it.
Care, no mate. Problem. I'll speak to you soon, guys, man. See you later.
Cheers. Bye. I mean, that T-shirt couldn't have been any tighter, could it?
It was a lovely top.
Oh, it's a lovely top. I'm not... I'm not complaining.
Well, yeah, lovely lads. Lovely
really
lad,
nice buddy. Guy.
Nice character. It's
such a good point, though, and you kind of forget that there's a person behind those sort of... When I've seen the Dream Boys, and there's the one that happened at the casino in Piccadilly. There was a show there. Oh. I can't remember what it's called.
Magic Mike.
You know, there. Although it's like all fun and games, like there is people have feelings.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's obviously a very attractive guy, but still can't make it work. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I didn't notice that. He is quite attractive now you say that. I've not seen Magic Mike yet.
Oh, have you not?
No. I love how I say yeah, because I know it's on the cards. But you're right, I kind of think it's one of the things, it's definitely, it is a performance, isn't it?
Mm.
And I kind of think, I imagine a lot of people, I think, when they step off it, because I reckon you become a character that you're playing, no different than if you was doing a role on a theatre stage or...
Or on reality TV.
Yes. So I think, yeah. Yeah, well, I think I can kind of see how it becomes difficult, but it's interesting to hear what becomes a perk of someone doing the same work. Then also everything comes with it. And I think the moral of that interview, what you understand is every scenario in life, you've always got to deal with each situation. And yeah. And what's ideal in one section then opens up another can of worms. So yeah. Who knows?
Who knows? Poor guy. I feel really sorry for him with his big muscles and his handsome face and his great job.
He's obviously not short of offers. But it's nice that he's not willing to settle, and I think no one should settle. Do you know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Because don't they also agree. The right person finds you when you're least looking. That's what
or
they
maybe,
tell
or maybe anyway. They don't, Bob. Either I mean,
is that
I
just
know.
What single people say
to tell themselves to cheer themselves up? Right. Well, our final guest, unfortunately, Esther hasn't been able to make it today. So why don't we do a little bit more showbiz news? Because there is another big TV show that I haven't actually seen yet because it's only come out today, but The Crown is back.
Fifth
series of The Crown, and it's proving to be quite controversial. I've heard already they had the premiere maybe last night, the night before, big red carpet event in central London. And it seems like the cast having to defend the show quite a bit because this is the 90s when basically... Things went really badly for the royals.
Probably one of the worst decades for the royals, really.
Yeah, I mean, kind of starting with the divorce of Diana and Charles, and also Andrew and Sarah. There was the burning down of Windsor Castle. Sarah getting her toe sucked by her accountant. If I could get my accountant to do that, geez. And of course, obviously Diana's death, I think, is covered in this series as well.
I guess the aftermath as well, because a lot of them kind of come up against it, the way it was handled or how the public thought that they wasn't reacting in the right way after the death.
They had a big the royals had a big drop in popularity in the 90s. So yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. Will you be watching?
Do you know what? I'll be really honest. I've never been an avid fan of it, which, believe it or not, which some people might find hard to believe, I love history. It was one of my favourite subjects at school. So I kind of, history was always, one of my things. I loved it. But I'd never really got into The Crown. And it's a strange one, isn't it? Because now I kind of think this is, obviously, it's now an era that I remember.
You can remember.
Well.
But
I think that what that comes with is that now, I guess this is, as series go on, we're now having more of the people that are being portrayed, they're still alive. Whereas I think early days, a lot of the people on the show aren't here anymore.
That
becomes the thing, and the whole this is a documentary thing. And I'm not going to sit here and lie, I will watch it.
The good thing is with The Crown is that you don't have to watch it from the beginning to know, because it's all chronological. It takes place in time. You know what I mean? So it's so from, I can
just jump in fully from series five. Now I'm probably going to watch it tonight after I've watched Matt Hancock.
You're really having trouble with that name, aren't you?
I will watch it. Because, and I think that's partly because it's the one I know so well.
Yeah.
And I'm, because the thing is, well, the early day ones, although I know a bit of history, I don't know the ins and outs, I know this enough to kind of go into knowing the reality of what's what. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I read that this was meant to end. They was going to end it at 5, but apparently they're already going into 6. And I think this series ends with Diana's car crash.
Well, there's some big significant events happened after that, you know. So, you know, I think it'll be worth doing. And now with the Queen not being here anymore, there's a little bit more leverage, I think, on writing about her history. So I don't know. I think I'll definitely be watching. I'm out for dinner straight after this, but I will be what I might. When I get in, I might watch the first episode just so I've got it, you know, I've made a dent into it.
Yeah. It's one of them things as well is, where do you draw a line? Because it seems now more than ever, I mean, you can't, a day don't go by where it feels like we're not reading something about royals, which I don't feel that was the case 5, 10, 50, although obviously things happened and like we've just touched on, especially in the 90s, that there was always something going on. But past events over previous years, it feels like it is almost daily. So much real life drama is coming from that family.
Yeah,
that it's creating the future series every time. Yeah. Where does
we could
it
do two
like,
more series, really?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I mean, even the when Harry meets Meghan situation and the leaving the royals.
I wonder if they'll go on until when the Queen dies.
Itself.
Yeah, exactly. I reckon they might go up until when the Queen dies. I can see that being the end of it.
Yeah.
Like as a whole thing, because it's been her whole life. That would be quite a good point to end it. But then we'd get Will and Kate's wedding. We'd get Harry and Meghan's wedding. We'd get Philip's death. We'd get the fallout of Will and Harry.
Oprah.
Yeah, so there'd be a lot. I don't know if I can see it happening. I'm looking forward to it if it does.
What's your thoughts on it? I mean, have you always been a fan of it?
I didn't watch the first series. I only got into it in the second series. And yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Because it's history and drama. It's not all true. You don't know every conversation that's been had behind the scenes. But I just think it's really well done. And I think Imelda Staunton as the Queen in the new series will be chef's kiss. So...
From some of the clips I've seen, like, I mean, I give it to Netflix 10 out of 10. The trailer for this series, I mean, was just amazing. The trailer, I don't think actually any trailer's ever had me as hooked or wanting to see a show or a series that I know damn I'm going to binge in like as little hours as possible, just go back to back. It's that thing, and like I say, because it is history, and my thing as well is, but this is almost hypocritical because I've said I'm going to watch it. Part of me does think when it comes to the boys, I love that we're calling boys, they're fully grown men and dads and husbands, but Wills and Harry, especially when it comes to the car crash and that aftermath. It's got to be a hard watch.
That's in this series. When they're walking behind the coffin and that's going to be in this series.
I wonder if they watch it. I mean, Harry's obviously got relationships with Netflix, him and Meghan.
I can't imagine that you would. I don't think I'd want to relive it if I was them.
Yeah, I can't see Kate and Will sitting down and watching it. And actually,
cracking open a bowl of something in your blog.
With a box of sour cream and chai Pringles and a tub of hummus and tiramisu. I can't see
delicious.
And the thing is, well, I think obviously such an awful and tragic accident and situation. I think even though Harry and Meghan have their relationship with Netflix, I don't think it's something they're going to want to watch.
No.
But I guess the thing is, well, when you're royal, part of the gig is your life goes on forever. I mean, back in the day, things was in encyclopedias and things. Do you know what I mean? Like, and when you remember learning about the Tudors,
it was different now. You've got the internet. yeah.
got the internet now, but I remember going through books and kind of doing projects on tubes and things. So I guess, I mean, the difference is none of us are going to be here by that point. But this, I don't even know, what are we called? We're not...
The Windsors?
You know, like we had tutors. Are we called the Windsors? Because one day, when we're all dead, they're going to go, oh, do you remember the...
That's a good Windsors? Point. It's a good point. All the second Elizabethan era. I don't know. It's a really good point. One we can explore at a later date, Bob, because we've run out of time.
I mean, we get so deep here talking all philosophy.
strippers and royal philosophy all in one show.
Light and shade. Between balance.
In it. Well, everyone, thanks so much for listening. Until next week, goodbye.
Bye, guys.